or the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation. Putting our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ is the only way that we would see you and be with you in heaven. Help us to see the value, the goodness, the will that you have for us this morning. That we will find ourselves in right standing with you. Pray that you would change us, transform us, conform us to your image through the power of your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My main takeaway this morning is actually the main takeaway for the book. So you'll hear this quite often from whoever is preaching here on Sundays. And it is this: receive Christ Jesus and walk in unity together. So as you think about the whole book of Ephesians, this is kind of the powerful takeaway that you should have each and every Sunday, is that you would receive Christ Jesus, and in so doing that you would walk in unity together, that we will be unified as a church body, that we'll be unified as a people found in Christ Jesus, heading in the same direction, following hard after Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that is, in many ways, what Paul is writing to the church that is in Ephesus, that they would understand doctrine, that they would understand who they are in Christ Jesus. So the first three chapters of Ephesians is filled with all sorts of doctrine and indicative statements, statements of truth, statements of standing of who Christ is and who we are in light of who Christ is, in light of our standing of who we are in the midst of this. And then the last three, 4-6 in Ephesians, is very much full of imperatives, very much full of commands. There's only one imperative in the first three chapters of Ephesians, only one, and it's to remember. To remember. That's the only imperative that Paul gives in the first three chapters. However, when we get to the last three chapters, it is full of practical application of rightly applied doctrine that we found in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And so we see this in many ways. So when we receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and treasure of our lives, there is a major shift in our standing before a holy God. We go from being outside of a covenant people to being brought into as a covenant people. We go from being lost to being found. We go from having no faith in God to having an active, pursuing faith in Christ. We go from anxiousness and worry to walking in grace and peace. That's what happens when we are transformed by the power of the gospel and go from a life apart from Christ to a life that is received and found in Him. So when we receive Christ, as Paul has, we receive a right standing, we perform with right action, and we walk with a right perspective. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there are three points of emphasis here in these first couple of verses. But really, these three emphases encompass the emphases of the whole letter. And they are this. The first one is this: Christ is reconciling all creation to Himself. That's kind of a main theme that runs through the book of Ephesians. Christ is reconciling all creation to Himself. The second emphasis of this whole letter is that Christ has united all people from all nations to live in unity through faith. That Christ has united people from all nations to live in unity through faith in Him. The third point of emphasis is this: how we live or walk matters as a people who have been redeemed. How we live and how we walk matters as a people who have been redeemed. So my first emphasis this morning is this, from this particular text. So that's kind of overarching all of Ephesians. The first emphasis is that we receive a right standing. We have received, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have received a right standing. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Paul was not an apostle of Christ Jesus when he began his life. He was very much trained in rabbinic style. He understood the Jewish law. He understood everything there was about knowing Judaism and understanding God's Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and he was very much dogmatic about this. And so he was an opposer of the gospel of Jesus Christ when it first came on. So we're going to be walking a little bit through the book of Acts. So if you'll take your Bibles and just move back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're going to be walking through some passages here to kind of help us see the story or the journey that Paul takes to get to Ephesus. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, went from an opponent of the way, is what they called it, the way, which is Christ Jesus, to being an apostle, a sent one, by the will of the Father. Look at verse 1. Leading up to 8 verse 1, Stephen, who was appointed as one of the early, deacons of the church, had just been stoned at the hand of Saul and those who were persecuting the way. Notice how chapter 8, verse 1 starts. And Saul approved of his execution. That's who Saul was. He was so dogmatic about Judaism that this Messiah, this way that had come in, this new doctrine, this newfound religion, he was very much opposed to. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So in the midst of this persecution, this great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, there was a scattering that happened of disciples, of followers of Jesus that went to all sorts of different places to run and hide from the persecution. And so Saul, who later becomes Paul, is the main contributor, is leading this force. Go to chapter 9, verse 1. But Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, any belonging to Jesus Christ, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And so Paul went on his way. And as he was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Notice he doesn't say, "I am Jesus, and you're persecuting my church." He says, "You are persecuting me. My bride, I am. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." And the men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Go to verse 16. The Holy Spirit is speaking to Ananias here. Goes to his house, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." That is going to be Saul's plight. So Ananias, he departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and he rose and was baptized. Saul went from being persecutor, opponent of the way, murderer of Christians, being transformed by the power of the gospel. Transformed by a risen Savior. And immediately, his life began to change. Immediately, after he took some food and after he rested and was strengthened, look what happened in verse 19. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." So Paul here, who writes to the church in Ephesus, is saying, I have authority as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And it was in this moment, on the way to Damascus, that Saul's standing changed and he became Paul the apostle, Paul the sent one, Paul the missionary, Paul the church planter, and began to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed. Verse 21. Is not this the same man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for the purpose to bring them bound for the chief priest? But no, he came proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. His standing before God changed in a moment that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And so he went from being an opponent to being an apostle, and he received a right standing. He began to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And so my question to you this morning is one that's obvious. Are you in right standing with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you humbly submitted to the will of God found in Christ Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Have you gained a right standing with Him by repenting of your sin and by faithfully believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Because not only did Paul begin to be different and be changed by the gospel, go to Acts 13, we see that in the midst of a prayer meeting, in this gathering of the church in Antioch, prophets and teachers, verse 1. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manny, and a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So Paul goes from being persecutor of the church, murderer of the church, to now being sent out on a journey with Barnabas to go and to begin to spread the gospel all throughout the region of Asia and to begin to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And then you get to chapter 18 of Acts. Priscilla and Aquila have joined Paul. They are foundational to the faith here and foundational to the church in Ephesus. Look at verse 19 in chapter 18. And they came to Ephesus, and Paul left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. They asked him to stay longer, but he declined. But he said, "I will return to you if God wills." And he set sail from Ephesus. But then we get to chapter 19. Apollos was at Corinth. Paul passed through the inland country and he came to Ephesus. And there he found some remnants, a remnant of disciples, a remnant of people who have been changed by the power of the gospel. And they were living by faith but had not received the Holy Spirit. And so verse 6, Paul laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came on them. Their lives began to change. And notice how big the remnant was. It was 12 men in all. 12 men there in Ephesus at the beginning of Paul's ministry. That was the remnant that was there from Apollos' ministry, from Priscilla and Aquila's ministry. But these men were changed by the power of the gospel. They stood in right standing. Paul is gone from is now an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. It was not Paul's own doing. If you notice that Jesus came to Saul while he was on the road to Damascus, and his life was changed by the will of God. And the same is true for Paul coming in to Ephesus and these men receiving Christ, and a beginning of a church was beginning to form. And so we receive a right standing by the power of the gospel, by the change of the Holy Spirit wrought in us. We receive a right standing. So you and I, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have received a right standing because of Him. The second emphasis that's here is that we are devoted to a right action. So not only do we receive by the power of the gospel a right standing, also by the power of God's gospel we are devoted to a right action. So right standing is to be brought from death to sin and life in Christ Jesus. So our status has changed through the gospel. So if you're on Facebook, your status goes from non-Christian to Christian when you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are no longer single. You are now in a right relationship with God the Father. And it's because of what the Holy Spirit has done in you. And it's what has happened to Paul, to take him from being an oppressor to being an apostle. And we're all apostles here. We're not capital A apostles, but we are. The word apostle means sent one. It means that we have been sent out by the will of God to go and proclaim the good news. So we are all apostles. And so there's a right standing, but then there's a right action. He's writing to a people. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the saints who are in Ephesus, back to Ephesians chapter 1. It should be on your screen. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Saints here means believers who have been set apart. This is not just old dead guys who have been really, really faithful and stand above everybody else. No, this word here means believers who have been set apart. That is anyone here that calls themselves Christians. Not only that, notice what he does here in this verse. Those who are in Ephesus and those who are in heaven, who are in Christ Jesus. There's an earthly exaltation and a heavenly exaltation in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. See, as Christians, we are dual citizens. We have citizenship on earth here in Jacksonville or wherever you find yourself in the next coming years. But we also have citizenship in heaven through Christ Jesus. It's important for us to know that earth is just a temporary residence that is here today and gone tomorrow. But heaven is our eternal home. Where will we live? In the eternal home of heaven, we will live in the presence of God, in the presence of others, glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. And so what does it mean that we are devoted to right action? What it means is that we are saints in this place, in this church, in our story, in our journey, who are what? Faithful in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be devoted to right action. That we, you and I, would be faithful to follow Jesus. If you are here this morning and you consider yourself a Christian and you consider yourself one who has given his life to Christ, one who's surrendered and bowed his knee to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have been changed by the power of the gospel, then you are to be faithful. That you are to walk in faithfulness. That others, when they see your life, Don't just look at you and go, yeah, you're like everybody else in the world. No, He's different. You are a saint. You have been set apart for the power and the work of the gospel in what God is, by the will of God, who is calling you into His work. And He's calling you into His work to be faithful to Him. Look with me in Acts 19, 18 through 20. These 12 men. And through the power of the gospel and through the will of God being proclaimed in Ephesus. Look at verse 17. Follow up before this story is the sons of Sceva. I don't know if you've ever read the story of the sons of Sceva, but it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. These men go in, they decide that they're going to be like Paul and they're going to try to cast out demons. Demon says, hey, Paul, I recognize. You, I don't recognize. And they go and they basically strip them down to nothing, to nakedness, beat them up and send them on their way. That's what's just happened. These demons. And this story became known to all the residents in Ephesus, or residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Remember, Ephesus is a huge city. Hundreds of thousands of people. And it became known, it spread throughout all of that region to Jews and Greeks alike. Also, many of those who are now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. Notice what happened. Through the power of the gospel, we now have more believers. We have more saints in Ephesus that are coming and they're confessing their sins. They're divulging who they were before Christ and wanting to be changed by their faith because of what God has done in them. Look at what they do. Verse 19. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Brothers and sisters, when we respond to the good news of the gospel and we walk in a devoted faith in Him, in Christ Jesus, when we are devoted to right action, this is how we respond. We confess our sins, we burn our idols, and we walk in faith because of the power of the gospel. This is what it looks like to be a saint in Ephesus. Those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, that they would burn their books, they would divulge of their practices, and they would follow the way. So my question to you this morning, is this you? Are you willing to lay down and destroy what hinders your worship of Jesus? Are you willing to, by faith, give up the things and those things that your heart desires that are worldly and are apart from Christ Jesus? Are you willing to do those things? Are you willing to lay them at the altar? Do you have this kind of faithfulness in Christ Jesus that the word of the Lord will continue to increase and prevail mightily through your ministry to the church? Do you desire this? Do you desire to see the word of the Lord continue to increase and prevail mightily through you? It's not just Paul, but saints of all time that the gospel has been brought forth. The reason that we are able to sit here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, is because of the faithfulness of people like this where the gospel spread all throughout in 50 AD. Do you desire this kind of faithfulness? Do you desire to live separately from the rest of the world? Do you desire to live in the presence of God, in the presence of others, glorifying and enjoying Him forever? Now, third emphasis. First emphasis, we receive a right standing. We change. We're changed by the power of the gospel. We go from being an opponent of Jesus to a to in Christ Jesus, to in Him. And then through that, we are devoted to right action, to right faithfulness, to trust in Him, to be a saint who is set apart. The third emphasis is that we walk with a right perspective. Look at verse 2 in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace here, the Greek word means that which affords joy and pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. Grace means it is the unmerited favor of God. And through this grace, through this unmerited favor, we experience these characteristics. We experience joy and we experience pleasure and delight and sweetness. And then peace here, grace and grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is a harmony and unity that comes from those who understand that they have received this grace, this unmerited favor, and have received it knowing that you didn't deserve it. By the will of God, not the will of you. Because of what God has done through Christ and His grace, we, His people, His church, we are called to live in harmony and unity with one another as we walk in grace and peace with one another. Do you desire this grace, this joy, this privilege, this pleasure, this delight? Do you desire this grace that brings rejoicing and pleasure and peace that surpasses all understanding? One last time in the book of Acts. Go to Acts 20. Start in verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. He called the elders of the church. So now there's a church there. There's elders. It's his third missionary journey. They came to him and he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink back from declaring," this is Paul, by the way, "how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." Paul is telling the elders that in Ephesus, the church that is in Ephesians that he's writing to here, that he will never see them again. Go to verse 36. "And when he had said these things," he gives them kind of an exhortation. "He knelt down, he prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all, and they embraced Paul and they kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of this word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ships." And this happened. Paul goes to Jerusalem. He's put in prison. And matter of fact, when he writes the letter to the Ephesians, guess where he's at? The very place that he said he was going to be. He's in prison. He found himself in chains. And he's in prison. And he tells them from his perspective that he wants them to walk in grace and peace with one another. I want you to know that Paul Paul was only with these brothers for a little over 2.5 years, somewhere in that realm. But notice their affection for one another. Notice how much they loved one another. There was weeping because they knew they would never see Paul again. There was weeping and sorrowful and sorrow because of what was about to happen to Paul. And so Paul writes to them and he tells them, like, hey, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. I'm writing to you, the saints who are faithful, but grace to you and peace to you. A church that I was able to be a part of, that I was able to be in this place to shepherd these people, to create leaders who would shepherd the church. I want to offer you grace and peace in the midst of all this turmoil, all these things that were happening in Ephesus, riots and persecution, being thrown out of cities, all happened by the will of God because of what Paul was doing. There's also another thing I want you to take away from this morning. Most of us in this room are here for about 2 to 3 years. And many times I hear, hey, I'm only here for about 2 to 3 years, so I'm not going to serve in some ways. I'm just going to hold back. I'm not going to push in because I don't want to get too close and then have to move. And this letter, the way that Acts is written, the way that Paul is talking to the Ephesians, is a deep level of commitment to one another, is a deep level of commitment to the local church there in Ephesus. The binding of hearts, the growing together. So don't use your short time here as an excuse to not plug in, to not deepen roots here in this place. Especially as you think about your life and what you want your faithfulness to look like, and maybe in the short time that you have here before you leave this summer, that I would encourage you to press in, to love one another well, to be affectionate towards one another, to grow in your love for the church and grow in your love for the brothers and sisters that are here gathered together, surrounded with you. And if you're not a member here, if you're not have not yet joined this church, I encourage you, if you've been coming for a little while as a regular attender, I encourage you to join this church, to graft yourself into this church and be known by others and be loved on by others and in turn, love other people. That is how you show grace and peace and God's unmerited favor to other people in the local church. So I just want to encourage you in this, that as you have a right standing, as you're devoted to right action, and as you think about a right perspective of grace and peace and mercy that is found in Christ Jesus, that this would be your movement. That you would consider, you would want to be faithful. And that you would want to press into these things in a new year in 2025. So brothers and sisters, receive Christ Jesus. Walk in unity together by having a right standing with a right action and with a right perspective. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this book. Thank you for the book of Ephesians. It's so rich in doctrine, so rich in practical application. But Lord, we thank you for the journey that it took to get to Ephesus. That you took someone who was prosecuting the church, or persecuting the church, someone who was oppressing the church, someone who was murdering Christians, and you transformed his life and the lives of others to be on mission for you. To be an apostle, one who was sent out, who was called out to go and proclaim the good news all over Asia. Lord, even in the midst of this room right now, you may be calling someone to go and to do that. To go and be a missionary in a foreign place. But Lord, you've called us all to be missionaries where we are, to our neighbors and to our friends. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to see the value of our standing, that we've been transformed by the gospel for those who are in Christ Jesus here? So Lord, I pray that you would give us the right perspective and a right devoted action towards faithfulness. I pray these things in your name. Amen. As a